Into order, we will call the meeting to order for the Board of Supervisors. Open meeting acts posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda, which consists of the general agenda. Approved minutes of meeting held June 2nd, with the addition of motion on change order 23 added after mailed out. Approve all claims through June 2nd in the amount of $620,245.86. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve permit 862 for Alex Trenching and Water Service to trench a water line, West 6 Claytonia Township. Approve permit 863 for Alex Trenching and Water Service to trench an electric line to an irrigation motor, East 2 Blakely. Approve additions, withdrawals on securities on county monies.
I move we approve consent agendas 1 through 7.
Second.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Ron, can you touch on what item 23 is added?
I was just added to the, just left off the minutes, the original ones.
Okay. Any discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Regular agenda. Comments from the public. Request for future agenda items. Marlin, Highway Superintendent report.
Three pages today. Two pages.
It's short.
Yeah. Short. Must be the end of the fiscal year.
This is your public relations trip, right?
Yeah.
Good morning. Yeah.
We can put him right behind me.
It's South 80. It's an 80. It's a straight line thing.
On my report, I have, of course, the zoning is coming up, a hearing, and then also we're having a meeting this afternoon on the this Planning Commission regular meeting on wind generation updates and all the reg updates and comp plans, so we're still working on that. Moving down to the Highway Department, we have approve or disapprove a resolution on removing stop signs at railroad crossing on South 96th Road. Should be a resolution and a recommendation in your packet. The recommendation basically says that my recommendation says that the of course the lights and gates have been installed, and so there's double coverage at that crossing, so the stop signs are no longer needed at this location, and for this reason listed, I recommend that the Gage County Board of Supervisors pass a resolution removing the stop signs at this location.
So moved, if that's in order.
Second it.
Moved by Anderson, seconded by Gronewald. Resolution number 1020. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
The next resolution I have is, I guess, on the special use, so we better wait on that. Updating on the Highway Department business. We have, after the last meeting when you approved the purchase of the motor grader, after the meeting, or it was the next day or two, that the supplier contacted me and said that the company changed their policy now that where they're going to have a drivetrain warranty for 5 years included in the price of the machine. So I just wanted to make everybody aware of that. I informed Road and Bridge of it, but so everybody's up to speed on that. The 911 address signs that we had to reorder, checked with the supplier. They should be coming any day now. They've been made and ready to send down here. So, update on motor grader operators. We have a part-time one going in the Philly area. Two other guys are still out on medical leave. We've been just running guys down there whenever it's too wet to shoulder the road, or other motor grader guys when they kind of get caught up on their roads. So, update on federal projects. We have the STPE 3220 Unit 6 Beatrice North. The NEPA document got approved yesterday. We had to do a little work on the CE categorical exclusion document. We finished it and resubmitted at 3 o'clock. Made all the changes that the feds and the state recommended. Everything else on the Barnston South, the contractor wants to get started. There's still some issues with the agreement. We negotiated, come up with a basis for the hours, and we just need to get the agreement to the board and get it signed. The Liberty or in Wymore one, I did a month ago or so, got a bill from Midwest right away, and I contacted them several times, and they are in discussion with the railroad, and just the mail going back and forth seems to take a month for each letter. So that's about all on that. On the crews, the bridge crew's been helping shouldering whenever and otherwise doing bridge repairs, and asphalt crews starting to cut out the bad spots, starting to dig them out and putting hot mix in. We got one flagger, part-time guy, which we did last year. It seems like with the safety, you about got to have a flagger, especially on the main busy roads. So that's about all I have until the hearing then. Any questions?
I guess I just might add that on that Barnston South Bridge, you talk about you're still negotiating with the construction engineer. That's done purely between the state and the engineer.
And
right? I mean, neither you nor this board are involved in that.
I'm involved in that.
I mean, but you don't have any authority, do you?
Oh, heck yes.
No, I mean, the reality, it's the state. That's a state-managed project, and they probably want you at all
meetings. Actually, the responsible charge probably has more authority than you'd like, but that's fine.
That's the way it is. That's the way the feds apparently want it.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I guess I would really ask and want a serious answer is, has that changed, or isn't the state
still
a driving force on a federal project?
Well, the state's trying to get the hours lower, and the engineer's trying to get them higher, and I'm in the middle. You know, I want.
But can you close the deal? I mean,
I can write a letter saying
the state
this
has to be the one that closes the deal.
I keep bringing that up. I said you told me that this is not. You cannot make your selection on price. And I said, now we're seem to be doing that. But we have negotiated the state up probably 40, 50 hours on it already, so for the CE. So.
And I understand this is a stimulus project, so this might even have slightly different rules than a regular federal bridge project. But it seems like this has been tumbling along for probably several months, actually.
Right,
it's ridiculous on somebody's part, so I don't know who needs
to
intervene.
Well, I mean, there's one guy at the state that negotiates for them and you know, all the projects, even the ones in Johnson County that are hit or mine, aren't started either. So it's...
Well, that's neither here nor there. We want this one rolled up, so...
Right.
Look, a straight answer. It's hanging on the state? Or are we hanging on you to say, yeah, this is...
No, it's between the state and the engineer and me, so it's all three of us.
I give up. Move on.
Well, Matt?
A different conversation. Claytonia South, that railroad crossing, if you get an opportunity, have we contacted the UP again about that?
Yes, I have.
It's improved, but I probably have to get on them again.
They're supposed to come out and dig that all out and relay it. I don't know if they will or not. That was my request. They said they would do some more on it. So.
I mean, it's better. I was there last night, but it just follow up.
What else, Marlon?
That's all I had.
Okay. Discussion of highway superintendent contract. You want to start it, Dave?
Yes, I think really it's Rex and Matt's ballpark here, but sounds like one of our many attorneys have encouraged us to go to an appointment at will, ongoing contract, or not a contract, just hire even the county road superintendent on an at-will basis as a county employee versus the system we've used for years of an annual or a two-year or even a three-year contract, whatever. I guess I'm encouraged to hear a little bit more of what, you know, the talk is with the attorney and why we would want to change that. I guess that's my opening comments.
The recommendation, or not recommendation, the conversations were in having as a public body, if you have a contracted employee, and in dealing with that employee when there's a contract basis, it can make them a little more convoluted to deal with versus an at-will employee. And so the recommendation, if you wanted to go to an at-will employee, is that you don't have to, for whatever reason, if there was any actions that you needed to take, you wouldn't have to go through a just cause hearing. You can modify things a lot different than outside of a contract. And so I guess just like we look at everything we do on an annual basis contracts, based on the makeup of the board, is the board comfortable at continuing to enter into a contract, or are there benefits to going to an at-will employee? And so that's really where the discussion came from. Because he's the last contracted employee.
That's the point.
Yeah.
I think the point is years ago we probably had four or five contracted employees, including custodians and other folks around here, and we've through
emergency management, veteran service.
Yep. By advice, we have dropped those, and I think that process has worked perfectly well. I don't think it's been of any detriment, and it's certainly one less document to worry about signing and having an effect and dealing with. I understand that counties across the state do it either way, or I guess that'd be the term rather than both ways, but either way. I guess might be fair to ask Marlon if he has any preference, just out of fairness, but... I don't see any big deal either way.
And I just briefly should interject, as Mark gave me the high sign. We do have emergency. We have three deputies.
And they're
contracted also.
Does the feds require it or not? Just because that's the way it's been.
Yeah, so
there's a few contracts out there yet, I guess. But.
Gary?
I guess it looks like we've kind of moved away from the contract, and I would support the idea of an at-will employee, largely based on... Mr. Pigsley's advice. He's given us some excellent advice over the 3.5 years I've been around, and the ideas that he shared, I think, are worthwhile, and I would support making it an at-will position.
Okay. Marlon?
There's nothing in statute that says you need a contract. I looked at all the highway superintendent statutes, and there's nothing in there. The job description does say that on there, so we'd have to change that along with it. So, either way, I don't have any problem with it.
Okay.
You still have a performance evaluation, no matter which
Correct.
Way you go. So,
correct.
I guess I would just prefer the at will, over the contract myself.
Okay.
Okay, by me if we're doing a head count. Is this evaluation form in our packet? Is that what it's for.
That is Marlins.
Okay.
Well, these are just for all, you know, it's that time of year.
For anybody and everybody.
For anyone that I think we tried.
Could we do one on ourselves?
Do that last year. Don't hand them out. You're fine. But that's the form that's there that I think it's important that we try to give. You know, it's employee evaluations, I think, just if I can springboard off that, are so important because it gives the employee ongoing feedback on performance. The good things they're doing, some things that maybe not be done so well, and it's an opportunity to have a conversation with the employee. And even though we do them once a year, I think there's times we probably should do them quarterly or more often. And again, employment's a relationship between the employee and the employer, and I think this helps to give feedback on an ongoing basis. But at least once a year we need to do these, and I think we tried to do these last year by the end of the fiscal year. So just to be consistent, I think we should look at getting them done in June also.
Anything else for Road and Bridge? Mark, activity report.
You should have an activity report that I put in your boxes. I hope everybody got it. I just kind of made up my own report as requested by the board to give a monthly activity report. So the front page is just some issues I'll go over. The last pages are just my daily calendar of activities, some of the things. Of course, not everything, not every minute of the day is recorded in there, but anything that I feel that's important enough to be documented has been added into. Some of the activities have been ongoing. Some of these are long-term, so you've seen them on reports before. The ID cards, we've collected all the information from the fire departments, and Julie Slavin's working on those ID cards as she has time to get everything caught up there. Rural addressing, Marlon touched on that. The signs still aren't here, but I continually run across some addressing issues. I ran across one yesterday. The gentleman was very upset. His address is going to have to be changed. So we're still addressing those issues a lot of times on a daily basis. FEMA disasters, we have three of them currently open. We're fortunate right now. It does not look like we're going to have any flooding. I've checked, and I meet with the Homestead Days Committee to make sure everything's going to be good for the weekend. It looks like the river may come up another foot or so, but it's going to stay way below the 16-foot flood stage. And it takes, even if it did meet flood stage of 16-foot, it takes 20.5 to get into the park. So we're good for the weekend, except maybe for some thunderstorms. So the courthouse renovation, working on some projects this morning. I had to finish cleaning out, move some more stuff around, move it out to the trailer. I was trying to avoid that, but we needed some more room in here. So my EMPG, the Emergency Management Performance Grant, I think I forwarded the committee the report that I filled out for the state and the request. We're supposed to hear back on that if that's been approved. I think my request was for $60,000 this year, and we'll hear by July 1. They thought we'd hear back on that. We continue the regional Homeland Security grants, regional meetings and communications, working with, we did identify all of our equipment in the county that's going to have to be addressed when we have to switch in 2011 to the narrow banding. So we're continuing working on that. ABL project and reverse 911, we're still collecting information, and we're going to try to work on starting getting the 911, reverse 911 system. Because the fact that so many people do not have landline phones, they have cell phones, that we're going to try to collect people that want to fill out a form that says this is my cell phone that I keep in my house, we will enter that into the system, and we're going to start working on that project now. Hopefully we'd like to have something to be handed out at the fair for people to fill out, but we'll see if we can get that done. Platte County is helping us on that. They just went through that whole process. Evacuation exercise with the health care facilities. I still have two to go, and then all the nursing homes, hospital, all the health care facilities have been, and we went through exercises, tabletop exercises, and some actual drills to determine evacuation processes and where would they go if they needed to be evacuated. I've helped them get the memorandum of understanding filled out for facilities where they need to be transported to. Equipment storage, we talked about the shed over there, and I couldn't get a contractor to come back and give me a job, to do the job before the end of the fiscal year. So out of six requests for bids, I got one. So we'll still see what we can do there. Hazard mitigation plan. Oh, go ahead.
Is that, does everyone know what we're talking about? The carport over there, and
yeah.
Just if everyone's comfortable, with, I think we just proceed with that. He needs some storage there.
And that would be storage for
close it, right?
Yeah,
that would be storage for Dave too, for the lawn mowing equipment and such. So
I'm not surprised you didn't get more than one bid.
I know. I just and then I did tell the guy that, you know, I'd be interested in talking to him again. He's never come back. So
what was the quote? It was a below five.
Yeah, it was about 42 somewhere in there. So, hazards mitigation plan, that's going back. That should be final. I think I sent out for a couple for the committee for review. That the thoughts and stuff that I went through and read the plan through as much as I could looked good, and so that's going in for final draft to FEMA, and we should hear something back that in the next 60 days. That's been, again, about a year and a half project doing that hazard mitigation plan, which is going to be required to do any mitigation projects. If we have a mitigation project that we want to use mitigation money from for any of these three disasters, we can go ahead and apply for that because the mitigation plan has been preliminary approved. So FEMA will allow us to start some of those projects that we identified in that plan if we want, because there is quite a bit of money between the three disasters that we have in the county here. So if we want to look at some of them projects, we'll go ahead and I'll have to visit with the villages and some of the communities on the ones that they identified. Working on department SOPs, safety committee. We need to get going again on the safety committee. We did some audits. We've had some injuries again, and at least I haven't been involved in any investigations of them, and I don't know if we're supposed to be investigating them through NERMA and reporting back to them. So I talked to Don, we just need to get a date set and start going through some of that safety committee stuff again. I did visit with one of the highway department employees that had an injury yesterday, or day before yesterday. So,
Mark, sorry, I don't want to interrupt you. You know, I used to get correspondence from NERMA regarding those injuries. I don't get that anymore.
Received anything for a while except for the last thing I've
yeah.
in the packet.
And I don't get them either. I used to get a copy, but
yeah,
they quit coming to me, so we may have to visit with
Mark on that thing.
Yeah, we may have to visit with NERMA to see where them are going.
Don could request that we get a list of the ones and what they were from the last year so we make sure we've got everything.
I don't know. How long ago were those injuries? I think you had some down there, didn't you, in the highway? Do you
last couple probably ain't on your
experience. I was going to say, I wonder if it's too soon that they haven't
yeah.
sent out.
Well, there was a couple like that got turned in, one in the treasurer's office and one, some little ones, but I don't know if they got turned into NERMA, though.
Well, we did.
We're turning in all of them.
We'll work on it.
Okay. So we'll work on that and get the safety committee. A debris management plan, I'm getting that in the final draft to hand out to the committee. Emergency Preparedness Day, what I plan on there is Emergency Preparedness Month will be like in October this year, National Emergency Preparedness Month. During the training where we did the strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, one of the things that was identified is that they don't feel that some of our senior citizens have any type of emergency preparedness kit, and that was brought up. So I'm working with some local vendors and on some grant money to see if we can have a Hastings, I know, did it. Platt County did it. A distribution of an emergency preparedness kit to different groups in the community. So I started working on that yesterday and met with Ace Hardware and State Farm Insurance. So still working on a website, waiting for the person to finish it up. We do have a website address and stuff, so we're finishing that up. And then the Southeast Nebraska Medical Response System, we're continuing the meetings and training. And then we're planning for the Gage County Fair. We'll all be visiting with some of the Fair Board members.
Medical Response System, what is that?
That's where if we need assistance on medical response as far as a major disaster. So if the hospital's overwhelmed and they need nurses or doctors or supplies or equipment and training, that's where we've been doing a lot of training. They've been giving us equipment. If we go to a meeting, we get a piece of equipment. Last time was a light, a wobble light, and they've given us a tent, and they've given quite a bit of equipment they give to us, funding that comes from FEMA, Homeland Security again. So.
Okay.
Then the last thing was I asked Ron for an update on our warning siren project, and because one of the things is we signed a letter about a month ago and say we were still interested in receiving that funds. So that's $10,000 we're going to have to keep in mind in the budget. It looks like it's over, it's been approved. The initial of financial assistance has been approved. The estimated total cost through 45 political subdivisions is $1.3 million. And it looks like there's going to be a 24-month program in that award period. So we just have to keep in mind, you know, during the budget process. Those are the new warning sirens for Philly and Virginia. Our portion of that will be about $10,000.
Will you put that in your emergency management budget, or will that go in the 911 communications budget?
We originally, when we agreed, we had to sign two different award letters. Originally, we agreed to take it out of inheritance, but if you want me to put it in that, then we need to put it in my budget. The problem is, I guess when we put it in, we've moved it three times. This will be the third, it'll be the second budget process it'll be in.
I guess we could just put it a line item in inheritance if that's where the agreement says.
It's yeah. So I don't see it coming real soon. But
no, because this again is just because of change in administration, and they wanted to do things different. And it's just, in fact, the whole thing came back because we had a change in the chairman or the executive director
right.
of SIN.
That was the last letter the board had to approve.
Everybody had to re-sign again. I mean, it's...
Matt?
You and I had a conversation. We were curious about what the AVL... which AVL units are in which vehicles in the county? Are they in every...
They're in...
Everyone,
we have one in... we have two for Wymore ambulances, two for Claytonia, one in Adams, all the Beatrice Fire Department... City Fire Department and ambulance have them. My county vehicle has them, and all the police cars have them. Six of the police cars have them, and then all the sheriff's deputies' cars have them.
And how much are those units? Because are we going to? Is the goal to put more of those in more units? How much are those a piece? Were those 1,500?
About 2,500 probably, with the air card and everything.
And we pay. Did you say Claytonia in there?
Ambulance that has them. Mm-hmm. Nobody chose to put them in their fire trucks this time. We chose to put them in the ambulances, which gets used more than the trucks at this time. And that also allows, and I believe Adams, we're working with Adams right now, they're also putting their computer in their ambulance with internet access. They all have internet access at any time, so I can take my laptop, put it in my Suburban, and I have internet access in my Suburban. So
it's an air card then?
What's that?
It's an air card.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In that system. And we also have two portable units. One is being currently used, I think, at the Sheriff's Department's satellite office at BSDC, and so we didn't have to purchase internet out there. We used that system, and then we have one portable one that we can put in a, say, a transport vehicle or my emergency management trailer. If we set up a disaster and we want internet right away, I can set it up in my trailer and have internet in my trailer right away with the portable unit.
So, what's the sheriff's satellite office at BSDC?
Or what?
Anything else for emergency manager? Thank you, Mark. We have a 9:30 here, a recommendation from Gage County Planning Commission on special use permit 2010-01 for a temporary asphalt plant and borrow pit located section 4 and 5, Township 1, Range 7, Barnston, and south half, northeast, section 32, Blue Springs, Wymore Township. Lisa, you're up.
For the record, Lisa Wiggin, representing Planning and Zoning this morning. Marlon, you have that letter. While he's passing out the recommendation, I'm just going to give you a quick update on Planning and Zoning. We are in the process of completing the wind regulations. We'll be meeting with Hannah Keelan this afternoon. We are writing specs for single wind energy, commercial energy, and also the aggregated projects, too. We're also going to be meeting with Hannah Keelan and consulting with them because they did the drive-through, the countywide drive-through, as we prepare to update our comp plan. So we're back here at 3 o'clock today, So all of you are welcome, certainly, to come in and step in and listen in. So Marlon's handed out to you the letter of recommendation, and that letter of recommendation comes from the commission for approval of the special use permit for the temporary asphalt plant and borrow pit. And if you note there, to be completed in 1 year, the lease between the constructors and the landowners. Our findings were based upon the facts that were presented to us at the public hearing. Greg Lieber, the project manager for constructors, presented us with those facts. Our concerns as a commission were, number one, the possible road damage, and that would have been acquired on County Road 51, which is the asphalt road, and then East Plum Road, which is gravel. Secondly, we were concerned about the safety of the construction site, and third was the amount of the time needed for the site to actually be in operation, and so that's why we specified a one-year lease. As you can see, constructors, I think in your packet or either legal counsel had it, has agreed to maintain and fix any areas of Gage County roads that they would be using for access to the project that are damaged due to the construction site. The agreement letter was received by Marlin's office.
Should have a copy of it.
Yeah, and he received it, and we presented it at our hearing, and there was no one present at the hearing speaking in opposition. So therefore, based on our findings, we are recommending approval to be completed in 1 year. So, questions? Okay, thank you.
No questions. You have your sign-in sheet in place, Marlon?
Yes. Anybody else here for the hearing?
Keith, would you like to sign in?
Need a motion to open the public
hearing. Yeah, we need a motion to open the public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. I couldn't tell where that one came from.
You sound exactly.
Any discussion? Vote. 7-0 to open the public hearing. For a temporary asphalt plant, borrow pit located sections 4 and 5, Township 1, Range 7, East Barnston, the south half, Section 32, Blue Springs, Wymore Township. Okay. Keith, would you like to talk? Name and address for the record.
Keith Nickerson, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Unplug them.
Good job for the sheriff. Show him your gun in there.
The judge didn't hesitate.
Somebody better go check on the bound.
Bad with them back in the one arm.
Your 1 second.
Okay. Name and address for the record.
Keith Nickerson, Lincoln, Nebraska. I have a direct my question to whoever's in charge of this plan.
He'll be behind you there.
My only question is, will there be a toxic runoff from this?
No. We have spill prevention and containment permits and plans in place that there will not be any.
Because we have adjoining property to the east, and I use that property for cattle, and I was concerned about the toxic in the water.
We have plans in place to prevent that very thing.
Okay, thank you. You answered my question.
Okay, thank you. Greg Lieber, you're up next.
Greg Lieber, Constructors, Inc., 1815 Y Street, Lincoln. I guess we are planning to use the site pending approval for 1 year. We signed a one-year lease, and we have, permits for air quality, stormwater. We have spill prevention plans, erosion control plans, everything in place to prevent any environmental issues or whatnot, and I guess I'd answer any questions you may have.
What happens to the site once you're done as far as reseeding grass or anything of that nature?
We'll clean the site up of any aggregates or that sort of thing that we have on site, and it'll be back in the it's cropland. Okay. And it'll be just put back into. We strip this topsoil off and get it down, you know, to clay, or hopefully to clay, and firm it up, and then we'll restore it back to original conditions. One thing we probably will have to do is put more widen the access into the site. I think there's a pipe in there now. We'll probably have to make that a little larger to be able to get our trucks in and out.
Who makes judgment as far as damages to the roads or asphalt? Whether or not there is...
Basically, what we were planning is going out and taking some pictures, Greg and I, beforehand, and then, basically looking at the road conditions, and then after it's over with, doing the same thing and see, with pictures and just walking over it if it's caused us any harm or not.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak for or against that did not sign up? Need a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Bauman, seconded by Fleece. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Need a motion to approve or disapprove resolution number 2010-01 for temporary asphalt plant.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Anderson. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Approve or disapprove allowing David Battiato, adult diversion coordinator, to occupy office space in the county attorney's office.
I received a request, I guess because of the chairman of the planning of the building and grounds committee, that according to our action here about a month ago, that anybody outside of a county employee wanting to use it would have to get our approval. So that's why it's on the agenda. So, and Rick, you want to? I guess I got the letter from you. So
the space that we're considering is on the clear east end of the new office space. It was going to be a training room. It wasn't going to be really used all that often. It has an access door from the hallway where the diversion folks could sit in the hallway, and right now they're mingling about our office, but have their own access. Mr. Battiato, or the Gage County Diversion Coordinator, whoever that may be, would have access and does have access now to our case management system, our case files. If he has a question about a diversion candidate, whether the case is appropriate or not, he gets up from his chair, he walks across the office and talks to us, and it makes it pretty convenient for everybody. We're just asking to put that space to use for that program. Have any other big plans for it, and we hope you'll consider it.
He's presently at the extension office.
He was. He's moved into the office space, if you want to. It's more of a closet over at, but he's in there now, and it works real well for us having him there.
I'm going to bring up some of the concerns that I have and have been expressed to me. We as a body had worked hard to move some of the functions out of the courthouse to make room for those that we needed space for. Probation was one that was worked hard to move out of because some of those people sitting around in the hallways, some of the associated problems that came with that. So that would fill up a space that we were told was going to be a state patrol office.
No, the state patrol office is still there.
It's the one right behind it.
Yeah, it's the one just
to the
state patrol office.
So it's not
the
far east one, it's a northeast one, correct?
It's the southeast room.
With the exterior door? Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's different than the one I saw. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I understand that. The number two part is we were told upon creation of this there would be no expense to the taxpayer. I am not against adult diversion that we as a board have approved, I guess my where I'm leading into this, we were told it would be totally expenses would be funded by participants. The county is incurring expenses over this. There should be some reimbursement. Obviously, we're using phone lines, the paper trails, the secretarial. We have not been we haven't seen an expense sheet. We don't know any of the expenses, itemization of any of this. I think it would be fair to say if this is going to be in a county building that we're paying for, we're losing space for, that we should be compensated in some form so it is at no cost to the taxpayers. That's all I have to say. Gary.
I agree with Rex, and I think the adult diversion program is good also. When you talk about the state patrol, and some, I'll sure stand corrected if I'm wrong, but they didn't always have an office in here for years, have they, Gus?
They've had the
over there.
Road division had one there for many decades.
And how come it was moved up here?
It's not. This is criminal investigator. That's still the road there. That's the trooper door there.
So where was their criminal investigator housed before?
They're out of his house.
Okay. So do they pay for their own phone line in here? The state patrol in the courthouse? Yeah.
I don't think about this over here.
Rick, do they use
any? I thought they did either have their own phone line or they were just using his cell phone. But I know we asked. I think we asked for approval on him.
I guess another thing is that we spent a lot of money to house probation out of this building. We have a contract with the city, and it was, you know, it's expensive. So we have been on a trail to have non-county functions out of here. And I also agree with Rex. We've not seen any reimbursement. They've used county funds or county resources of some kind just by being in there. And Ron's been on the finance committee long enough. He tracks and pretty well knows what comes in and out. And I think Matt's on the same track.
$40,000 a year.
Well, see, there you go. You've got an answer. But the fact is, and we have had no cooperation letting us know what that's cost, although I'm glad Ron kind of has an idea on those expenses. So I think we'd be just doubling back, and who's to say with the new county attorney if that program would be here or if it's not. And if it is self-funded, surely some office space could be found somewhere and paid for. And if the board decides to let it in, I think the county needs to be reimbursed because it's not a county employee. And there's all kinds of other things that come in by not having a county employee using county space. I think we could have some liability there that we haven't even thought about. I tried to think this through last night and think of some of the things, and that might be something too. So I agree with Rex, and at this point in time, I'm probably not in favor of it.
Matt?
You need a motion to...
Oh, yeah.
Can I maybe address some of the issues?
Sure. I'd like to make a motion to approve allowing the adult diversion coordinator to occupy the space in the county attorney's office.
Okay. Moved by Bauman.
Second
by Barnard.
I'd like to amend that motion. I would like to amend it to somehow set up a, I guess, probably the Building and Grounds Committee to determine actual costs of telephone, computer, perhaps space rental, and the allowance of him being here would be contingent upon the county getting paid from that fund for those expenses.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece. Discussion, Rick?
Just, I guess, the two issues that you had. I understand we did have, you know, probationers sitting around in the hallway filling out paperwork and all that kind of stuff. Probation was on second floor, which was also occupied by the county and the district court, other offices. It got a little
congested. This will be on the fourth floor now?
This will be on the third floor.
Fourth
floor. We went through this at Building and Grounds the other day. It's third floor. But it'll be up there where nobody else is.
The top floor.
The top floor. So I think that issue, while we're still going to have people in the courthouse, it's going to be in an area where there aren't as many folks present to bother, essentially. And the expense to the taxpayer, I guess when you take a look at what Gage County Diversion Program does, there's a 40 or 80 hour community service component to this. So the Gage County taxpayer, I know at this point, I was out one Saturday driving around and down here just south of Denny's on the road, there was three people picking up trash. And they're picking up trash in Beatrice, and they're picking up trash on the highways, and they're doing projects in Gage County that are benefiting Gage County. So, you know, cost benefit, I think there's very little cost in, you know, in the phones and whatever compared to the benefit that we're getting. I mean, we're getting folks out there. You pay somebody a 40-hour week at $8 an hour, I'm guessing that's going to cover, and we have quite a few people doing that. So there is some benefit, and it can be kind of hard to measure unless you take the time away from supervising those people. I know Mr. Battiato's out on Saturdays and Sundays supervising diversion folks. I suppose he could be spending that time, you know, writing down, you know, justifying what he's doing, and there's some of that that needs to be done, I suppose. But there is a benefit. There is a benefit. So, yes.
You do have the benefit also of those individuals not being incarcerated, and by doing the diversion, you don't have the expense of the jail time, and I think that's significant.
Well, and I didn't. I didn't mention that the time that I don't have to spend preparing for a trial, working on a court case, those kinds of things, I can put in to other things that have importance in the county as well. The AMS contracts, the building and ground stuff, we've got a lot going on. So just court and attorney time, if I wanted to bill that out at an hour, I know what I was doing 5 years ago, and it's expensive.
Gary.
Just for clarification, I've never known the county's paid anybody to pick up trash, Rick. We have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and all kinds of groups that do that. So that's really not a savings of taxpayers, because we don't pay people to do it anyway.
Ron.
Rick, what individuals are usually eligible for?
Usually
what
first,
charges? Would it be
first
like
time
misdemeanor?
Offenders.
Or?
Yeah, misdemeanor. I think we've had a couple felons go in unusual circumstances, and we run into those occasionally. I mean, we had a guy that had some mental health issues that committed a felony, and it wasn't something that was going to be solved by sending him to prison or running him through the system. This was the best benefit for the county, for the state, that we could find.
Dave.
Mr. Chair and Rick, I'm sure this is a very worthwhile project. Anytime you can keep people from being incarcerated and still steer them the right way, I think is a great benefit to the county. And from what I've been hearing, I think the program's been working well, and I think Dave has worked well with your office, and I think all that, as far as I'm concerned, can continue. I think the rub is, and I'm not on the Finance Committee, but unless I have the wrong information, isn't this sort of a self-funded program where these dollars don't even come in or out of the budget? And so I think, and you're probably aware of that I think that's the rub, and that's partially where my motion came from, that is, if we don't have any fiscal control over this program, but yet it's part of our law enforcement system and our county attorney, and that literally be part of our county attorney's office, that we ought to have some way to account for something, and I guess that my motion was a bit out of that. I don't know if frustration is the word, but you know, in the past we've had a lot of issues with these kind of freestanding, self-managed funds, and they've gone back for years and years and years. The county attorneys have had little secret funds, not secret, but self-managed funds, and the remember, just a minute, Mr. Chair, the clerk of the district court, remember when they statewide had the little passport fund?
Yes.
That was a private, somehow the state laws of Nebraska allowed this to just kind of work for whatever they wanted it to
any be purpose.
For. Any purpose, actually.
Any purpose.
And so that's a bit of where the frustration of that lack of accountability is where my motion came from.
You may remember here about a month or so ago, we did have an issue about some postage that was bought down to the clerk's office for about $40 worth. That was as a result of the adult diversion. That should have been paid for through adult diversion, not through a claim or the case from county taxpayers' money. I mean, this is something you just have to watch very carefully. You know, if it is that, then it should be that. Nothing else. So,
Denny.
I think an assessment basically is perfectly acceptable and is a good thing. I think it should be part of the cost of the program, and we determine what that assessment should be for the use of the office and the facilities and what have you, and built into that
assessment if there are exceptional expenses that those in addition are also paid. So I agree with that. But it is a good program, but I think they need to pay us something for the use of that program.
Well, I'm in support of this. I think I'm going to vote for them. You know, I go back to when we sat here and initially approved the program. I think a lot of these questions that are now somewhat aggravated us, we probably should have asked then. This is the program of an elected official that, again, we approved. We allowed them to be in a county facility across town at the extension office. They want to move back, and, you know, I guess I don't want to be party to inhibiting any department from being able to execute the work that they want to do. And I acknowledge there's been some frustration of probably not absolute clarity of some of the functions of a self-funded of a portion of, or whether or not it's a county program. But, you know, I guess they need to be together to function well. And so if you do an assessment, you know, I don't have any heartache over it. You know, quite frankly, and this isn't to poke anyone in the eye, the county attorney administration is going to change in 6 months. So, you know, we probably will have to revisit this at that point. And at this point, it's a program that apparently is working to some degree. And we've got space. It's a very nice space. So I'm in support of it. And if we have to do the assessment, so be it. I just don't want to be punitive to a department to try and function and do something that, quite frankly, does keep people out of a very expensive facility across the street.
What was the motion, Rex, again, that Dave?
The amendment.
What's the motion on the floor?
The motion was to approve, and then there's amendment now to that motion that building and grounds would determine some sort of rent assessment assessment.
Will they have to agree to that? I mean, if we pass the motion based on that, what if they say we won't pay that much or they refuse to pay? How are we going to handle that so we don't get into this situation again?
You know, I guess my hope in this, I know Randy worked long and hard on putting this together. This wasn't something that came up overnight. I'm aware that there's some disagreement with the way it's being run. I know his intent behind this is benefit Engage County. We talk about this with the emergency medical services contracts and you know, where are we headed? What's our intent here? It's to improve patient care. And I think the intent here is to improve what's going on in Gage County. And I hope we would, you know, use that as a touchstone in our decision-making and in what we do. Instead of, you know, nitpicking it and nickel and diming it, how much benefit and is it really worth, you know, micromanaging it? That's just a comment.
Okay. Any more discussion? We will vote on the amendment first. Any more discussion? Vote on the amendment. Vote. In favor, Anderson, Groenewald, Adams, Fleece, Byers, Barnard, against Bauman. We're going to vote now on the original motion, which was to approve.
As amended.
And so we're voting now with the amendment to approve the original motion. Vote. In favor, 7-0. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
While you're there yet, discuss and approve or disapprove sending out county EMS interlocal agreements. Matt or Rick, whichever one.
We're real close. You guys just need to be concerned with the terms, and I think Matt can tell you about that. The legalities of it, I think, are going to are pretty much all there. They're not going to affect the way the cookie crumbles.
I made several notes, so I'm going to take a little time here to go through this. So I'll try not to be too verbose, but I have a problem with that. So, at any rate, in front of you, you'll have there's three different versions, and there's going to be the ALS version, which will be for, and I shouldn't say different versions. There's going to be one for Beatrice, Wymore, Claytonia, Adams, and those are all transport squads. And then we're also looking at Cortland and Odell, which are non-transport, they're first responders. So we want to, again, try and involve as many EMS personnel as we can.
So what we're looking for today is a contract, and I know Gary's gone with me to Adams, and we've gone to Wymore, and we visited with Beatrice on a couple different occasions. So we have listened to these other entities. We have listened to their legal counsel. You know, Rick, at the risk of patronizing you, you've been a peach. And so he's been a real help to try and get this together and coordinate this through the legal counsel. So we have listened to the concerns and suggestions from the other departments that are out there, and I think we've tried to make appropriate accommodations in this contract. So what we're looking to do is to send this out and give these departments time to look at this and get back to us. We'll try to send that out this week, and I'll put a cover letter, try to explain some of the highlights. I'll step through this briefly. In signing this contract, we're allowing people to, or encouraging them and binding them to have a seat at the EMS Advisory Committee. We want those people to sit at the table and be part of the process. We also, of course, they have to follow what the state of Nebraska is doing, so they have to stay in good standing with the state of Nebraska. They allow the Gage County Medical Services Consultant, Dr. Rice, to review the information and quality data that will be defined and is defined as part of the advisory committee for the county. Now, that doesn't say he has to be their physician medical director. If these departments want to go get their own physician medical director, that's okay. If they choose to use Dr. Rice, I propose that we continue to pay for him. I think he's an expert in that, and I think that he's a huge resource there. But recognizing that there, quite frankly, have been some personality conflicts, and you know, I think we have to look beyond those and be able to move forward. So if they choose not to use his services, that's fine. We'll move forward. There's also a payment reduction in here as part of the review of the quality assurance measures. If Dr. Rice feels that there is not something that's being met, he will make a recommendation to the county board. But there's also an appeals process that if the ambulance service feels that they disagree with him, they have an opportunity in writing and in person to come here and say, we disagree and this is why. So we want to make sure that people don't feel like they don't have a voice and have the ability to say what they need to. So there is an appeals process in there. The other thing, well, of course, you'll see Attachment A, and that's the advisory committee, and you'll see that there's quality assurance measures in there. We've compromised on the 48-hour electronic documentation to 72 hours, and we want that to be for 1 year. So we recognize that some of these volunteer squads thought that would be kind of difficult for them to get in 48 hours. So for 1 year, we're saying, okay, let's do 72 hours and let's work on this. So document 72 hours. The turnout time for the volunteer squads is still, I should say volunteer professionals is the way I like to call them, but 5-minute turnout time, and that's a time that the dispatch call goes out and someone answers via cell phone and says, we're en route. And that's different than on-scene time, which a lot of these departments are used to using. So when we define turnout time very explicitly, what that is in there. And let's see, so eNARS is the turnout time, and you know, the documentation. So, and those will be reviewed in committee, and we put those as QA for a reason, because based on information from the state of Nebraska and Dr. Rice, is that if there are QA standards, they're not recoverable. And so the last thing we wanted to do is to put anything in here that would make somebody liable. The idea was to have a standard out there, but not a liability. So the direction that we've had is if you make those a QA standard with related relationship to healthcare, they're not recoverable. But that's only as good until someone tests it in a court. So the intent is to not have liability out there. And then the last part in here you'll see is used to be that the ambulance districts we did based on fire districts. Well, there's a nice form, and I know that Mark and Gage County Emergency Management was involved with this, as were the other squads, and this is the Gage County EMS response districts, and we're going to add this in there because this is independent from the fire districts, but it shows boundaries in Gage County of who covers what. And to me, that was a lot more specific. And this is a working document. You get the heads together at the table, and as traffic patterns change, population centers change, resources change, this can be amended from time to time. The idea is that this would be a 1-year agreement. Recognizing, you know, I've said this before, we're just chipping away at this huge iceberg, and this is just step one. But we got to get people at the table to try and move forward on this. One of the things, as far as proposed allocations, I'll just
that I'm put in here. The total amount that we spent, I think we had budget this last year, was $279,000. And the proposed amount this next year would be $280,500. And those would be broken out. The proposal would be for Beatrice to $160,000, Adams $19,000, Claytonia $16,500, Wymore $40,000. And those are all who are currently contracted with. And I should explain here that there's two more, Cortland and O'Dell, that we would propose giving dollars to, and those would be a starting point of $2,500 apiece, recognizing that they don't have transports. They're just first responders, and so they don't necessarily need the same funding. They don't have the equipment that's out there. But again, get them into the contract and hold them to a same response standard. And their contract will look a little bit different also. And
what
then I'm.
How did you say for Beatrice?
160.
The contract says 150.
And we're cleaning those up before those send out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you'll have the right amount.
Yes.
Every one of these.
Yes.
So these are drafts.
Yeah. Those drafts. These are for everybody. Yeah. These. Yeah, okay. I saw that this morning, too.
Big draft stamps on
it. I was saying, boy, this is, this is $600,000.
And I wanted to discuss these dollar amounts in open session also, make sure people were comfortable with that and not be heavy-handed. So say this is what – well, yeah, I thought Rick had these all.
You know, I sent you an email. I didn't hear anything back. I thought, okay.
We're good to go.
But you had shut out.
But also the physician medical director last year, or the consultant, we budgeted $45,000. I'm recommending $40,000 this year. Because I fully expect some departments will choose not to use him, and Dr. Rice is aware of that, so the dollar amount will be less. And so essentially, 2.5%, so $279,000, $280,000, we're essentially budget neutral, and we're bringing more people into it. I have spoken with Ron Miller from Claytonia about carving some of those dollars out, and he was comfortable with that. So I throw that out there. That's kind of where we're at. We want to send these out by the end of this week, I think.
We need a motion, and then we'll have discussion.
I would so move.
Moved by Fleece.
Then we'll have a discussion.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
Okay. On the payment reduction, if you've got it in here, may not exceed 50% of the agreed amount. And so these are on a quarterly basis.
Correct.
And so when will that evaluation be?
That will come
like 2 weeks before that claim is.
Yeah, there's in the committee it talks about when that there will be a presentation. Where's that at? It talks about the recommendation. There will be a quarterly report that will come to the board.
Okay, so we will look at that quarterly report and make action at that time.
And it may not show up as a consent agenda. We may have to pull that off separate
and
just consider that separate based on the recommendation. And so I guess the really important thing to, you know, as there's potential reductions, if someone signs a contract and fails horribly, they'll still get half their money. If they fail everything and do horrible, they'd still get half their money. Now, that's worst-case scenario, and I'm not advocating that. And nor do I think that's going to take place. But no. I think that's important, because a 50% reduction would be the quarterly payments, and then that the idea is that we would have that ongoing dialogue and that presence where someone would, you know, maybe it's a 1 or 2 page report, this is the recommendation, this is the activity that's taken place, so that the board has the final recommendation, or it has the final say, because out of the committee is just a recommendation, and the ultimate say in financial responsibility does lie still with the board.
Reviewing the report, we may say that it's not very significant, so we'll just reduce it 10%.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, we can't go over 50.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Final discretion still lies with the public body.
Gary.
Yeah. Long before I got on this board, I remember Rex worked on this a long time, and I don't know if he had all the support he needed years ago, and he passed the ball off to Matt, and the board has supported Matt, and I've had the opportunity to help Matt with this. And although it might not be the perfect thing, it's really a good thing. And Rick has been a very good help on this. And I assume you're comfortable with what we've accomplished here, or about what we're about to do. And I'm just glad that it's turned out this way. It's really, as I've heard Rex say so many times, it's a quality of life issue for our county. And I really think once it gets down the road a little ways and people get used to it, I think it's a good thing, and I'm glad that we've
I need to thank Rick, too, because I've kind of beat him around a little bit, and he gave me the sausage and lawmaking speech this morning. So, well, we've had the
discussion.
Yeah. We had the discussion on some wanted to make our advisory committee a public body. I bring him back to interpretation is interpretation. Our jail steering committee did not set policy. They did not. They recommended to the board. Our previous EMS assessment committee worked under the guidance of a subcommittee of the Board of Supervisors. They did not set policy. They did not set anything that was not ratified by the Board of Supervisors. This advisory committee we have now, I feel, is under the same format. We're under some interpretations here. They do not set any policy that is not ratified by the Board of Supervisors. There is not an elected official on there. We chose to remove all politics from that committee. If that committee becomes a public body, you have made it political again, and no longer is quality of life issues the primary goal. The number one intent of this whole thing is quality of life of Gage County. Once we remove all the personnel issues out of it, all the animosity towards Dr. Rice saying what he says, at the end of the day, quality of care is the direction we're going. And as long as quality of care is frontmost to this whole agenda, we're going to get to where we need to go. And I believe in where we're going. It's almost $300,000 we're dealing with. If we did not request corrections, modifications, changes, looking at these contracts, we're not being responsible board. So I think this is a form of government that sometimes we haven't pleased everybody, but if we please the majority of the people, the majority of the time, we're headed for what's best for Gage County.
I think the goal is to get the healthcare professionals around a table and say, what can we do to improve patient care? And I don't know anything about it, and I'm not so sure you do, Rex.
You know I don't.
I think that's a fantastic goal. You know, me being an attorney and representing the county, I have to make sure that we're jumping through all the hoops. I don't like all the hoops I have to jump through all the time either. Now, you know, a public body is defined as, you know, governing bodies of all political subdivisions of the state of Nebraska, and in Subdivision 5 of that, it says advisory committees of the bodies referred to in Subdivision 1, which is all political subdivisions. Now, in B, it says a public body does not include subcommittees of such bodies. So maybe we turn this into a subcommittee.
Are you going to give them the sausage speech? Because that's where we started this morning.
I can only use that once a day, Rex, and you were the lucky guy. So I want to look at it to be sure.
I mean, it's subcommittee, well, you look under our committees there. I thought we had it, actually, because we have appointed Don Harmon as chairman of our EMS advisory committee.
He's
a co-chair with Dr. Rice, so we have formally done that.
Yeah, and I'll try to forward you the email I sent to Matt. I just do have some concerns, unless it's been modified somehow by...
There it is. I looked right past it. EMS Assessment Committee, Don Harmon, chairman. We have already ratified and made that happen.
Well, maybe we need to make some changes to our document to reflect that it is what it actually is, a subcommittee rather than...
Advisory committee, just change the... Shirley.
If somebody calls the wrong response, you know, the wrong response district, EMS, will they automatically transfer the call to the right district, or...
That's a tiered response dispatch issue that we're into. That's absolutely independent of what we're doing here.
It goes to 911 communication center.
Yeah, as I understand it, it goes to 911, and 911 looks at it and says, okay, it's here. This is who gets the call.
That's who gets the call. So it doesn't make if you make the wrong call.
Correct, Mark?
Yeah, it actually comes up on the screen which
district?
Which district, which okay. Law enforcement, fire, EMS, or quick response team, or extrication. That's how I've got it on the screen. Based upon that map. So every time that map would change, you have to change the
and I just stress this is still a work in progress, and this is a one-year contract. And I've spoken with different people in different departments, and there's some really innovative ideas out there that these independent departments have. And I would think that once we can get a jumping-off point, folks working together, this is just going to—it's just, for the lack of a better word, it's just going to be really fabulous for Gage County. It's just, there's these, again, these independent squads that have some really neat ideas. And I just would like to see that expanded and have them work together.
It is a work in progress because, as Matt knows, I disagree with the 48 or 72 hours. I've stuck with 72. Or, I mean, he's on the 72 to get him started, and I'm on 48. But it's a concession I'm willing to make to get everyone.
But we think that's going to change anyway.
State law is going to mandate it.
Eventually, but if we start there, then we can...
I can see people living right on that line, right in the middle.
Well, somebody will show up.
Yeah.
Somebody will show up.
And they currently work, those departments, they work together. That's just describing the boundaries. But, yeah, they work.
If Adams gets called to Beatrice, I'm sure you're going to show up when you get the call, regardless if they're across the road. Wymore gets called to Beatrice, whether they're on the other side of the line, somebody's going to show up, and that is our goal. No matter where you live or who you are in Gage County, somebody is coming in a professionally timely manner.
And if you look on that map, too, you'll see three areas there in white that have no color. We have external forces that operate outside of this county who reside outside of this county that come in here. So that's the next step, is how do we deal with those folks that are coming in here too? And that's been raised on several different, and I would agree. I said, yeah, we've got to deal with them. But
we've got to get our own problems corrected before we start somewhere else.
We owe those, I think.
Margie. I don't want to leave covered into the Beatrice contract, but you also have the Beatrice Rural and Pickle Creek response teams that are same as O'Dell and Cortland. I don't know if you covered that.
In the what we try to do is things that were laid out in the Beatrice contracts before.
Yours defined you had O'Dell in it. Claytonia defined it had Cortland. That's where he's coming up with that.
Yeah.
But they have their own. Pickle is just like Cortland or O'Dell. So
we are eliminating you guys paying Ad or yeah, O'Dell.
I didn't hear their names brought up.
They were not.
Correct. They weren't brought up. But the door is open for those folks to approach us. And nothing's off the table. It's open. But at this point, there's been no discussion about that. And
it cleans it up because it stated in there you would give O'Dell up to, and Claytonia would give Cortland up to.
And I don't think that was
the actual getting pickerel money.
Up to, it says, or something
just
in that. So.
Quick responders and the Beatrice quick responders out because they're dispatched just as well as
other quick
responders.
They're an equal.
That's a very good point. Well, we still have time.
Oh, yeah. I want your budget neutral.
Well, but.
Hold up, that's
yep. Let's see. But that was the thing that was. But see, the city's got an interlocal agreement with them. See, that's where it got sticky, is there was an interlocal agreement that's mentioned in ours, but that's their interlocal agreement. So
I thought that was through our local contract. You just made one look
in there. This says the city, the current one for Beatrice says, is this Beatrice? Yeah, it says that the city agrees to enter into an interlocal agreement with Pickerel to pay Pickerel. It's not us, it's them. So we tried to look at what was in our contract. So I don't know what their interlocal says. And it says not to exceed 5,000, which now I'm going back.
There would be an advantage to treat everybody the same instead
of
having two systems.
Where it gets convoluted is...
I think Beatrice Rural and Pickerel ought to be treated the same as O'Dell, from what I'm hearing.
We dictate in this contract how Beatrice is going to have their interlocal agreement, and I thought that doesn't... We ought to... If we're going to...
Because of the contract with the county, they couldn't pay them unless they had some kind of interlocal record. So that will end with the new contract. So Pickerel will be up and Beatrice.
And I don't know so we'll have to.
I mean, we're in the fourth year of the EMS advisory assessment. When the national people come in and done the assessment on Gage County, the state has spent around $140,000, and I don't know if Dean Cole wants that in the paper. They have spent a lot of money on Gage County, and It hasn't always been what every department wants, but I think the goal has always been what's the best for Gage County, and I think we're still headed there, and I think it's a good work, and it's been a lot of hours put in by a lot of people. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0. Approve or disapprove contract with Radigan Schottler Manufacturing for county and district courtroom projects.
Now these are basically two contracts to get them started on their projects. One contract involves the district courtroom, and the other one involves the county courtroom. Everything involved here is will be paid for by friends of the courthouse on it. And the first payment to get them started will be due them around July 1, I guess, is the date.
That's the date we're supposed to get their first payment to them. They'll get started as soon as we sign the contract. They'll wait for payment till July 1st for the new budget cycle to come around. But if we don't get them started on something pretty quick, then it just delays the project. So.
And so in our budget process, we'll have to have on July 1 monies or a budget set up basically for Friends of the Courthouse in the budget for this. And then so that when we get the money from the Friends of the Courthouse, right now they probably have more than now. We're back on the last of March. They had over $53,000 in there. That would be transferred then to a bank account for where we could then get a claim and pay it out of that line item budget, whatever the case would be. So to get them going on it. But I went through the Friends of the Courthouse, and everything that they had in their list is in these two at this time. So
okay.
I guess I need a motion to approve the
moved by Fleece.
The two agreements.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Review quotes for county and district court sound system and approve or disapprove.
He's still working on the quotes to send out.
Okay.
He was working on them yesterday afternoon when I called him, so he's going to send them to Don, and then Don will send them out to some companies that he has that he wants them to quote on for the system. He said that probably the only quote we won't be able to get back from anybody is for the speakers that will be involved in the courtroom. We didn't want to, they didn't want any speakers up on the walls or, you know, or whatever. And so they will be somewhat attached to the pews or something or to.
Well, they were talking about suspending them from the ceiling.
Well, even that.
Has he changed that now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that they would be primarily on the benches or someplace where people could hear them and not be suspended. The only place that those are made is Australia.
Cha-ching. Price just went up, didn't it?
Well, maybe not. But he said it's really too bad because most of the electronic stuff like he has in here is made either in Germany or China. Mm-hmm. Very little of the stuff for the sound systems is made in the United States. I mean,
the speakers are what they are. My hope is that we don't put anything in the courtroom that interferes with the historical nature of the room. I don't want a big speaker hanging down in an 1800s courtroom.
That's why he went.
As long as it fits in.
That way he's been coordinated with the Judge Tim.
I may be speaking for Judge Tim, but that's my thought. Anyway.
Except, of course, for the giant subwoofer.
Well, I forgot about that.
Well, you can relate to the clientele.
Yeah.
So... And he said he'd have those available to Don, so she could send them out. So hopefully in 2 weeks we'll have those. So on those, but be removed from the agenda if we need them. But it's just
Now there are some other items that were left out of the county courtroom contract that we're going to need to get working on pretty quickly. So we'll need to work with Wim on that and get with Radigan's and get something drawn up.
That involved. Window trim and casings, a bunch of stuff that originally was in Cheever's change order that we wanted to pull which we did, and Schottler's needs to get back to us, I guess, to see if their quote that they made back in January, if you do those things in those two court, basically it's a county courtroom, I think, more than anything, that those are still firm, so we can get those going, too.
And we've got to get, apparently there's nothing in there for the corbel that was damaged. We need to get that replaced, the wings off the county court bench, the witness stand, and some wainscoting, so to finish up the county court. But if we can get Radigan started on building stuff, we can move, you know, from east to west on that and get it all done.
Time to get her put together.
Absolutely.
Okay, approve or disapprove allowing eligible dependents up to age 26 to enroll early in the county insurance plan per the passing of the new health insurance law.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Barnard. Discussion.
I see a memo here from
You should have a copy in your packet of the options that Sam has sent us that you can choose. The law goes into effect on September 23rd, that we have to allow all eligible dependents. His option is to either wait till September 23rd. Second thing is to have those dependents demonstrate that they do not have any other insurance under another employer. Or the third one is to allow all eligible dependents to enroll as of July 1 to coincide with our flex enrollment. And then the fourth option is to allow eligible dependents who are not eligible under another insurance plan to enroll as of July 1st. His suggestion was the fourth one, to go ahead and let them, since we've got our flex program right now going on, and to allow them in on July 1. But they have to prove that they do not have coverage under any other health insurance.
What is the additional expense of this?
They would be covered from July instead of starting in September.
I know that. What is our additional expense? Is there an additional
claims they would have? I mean, they're just an additional coverage. No, it's no other cost to us, but the law says we have to do it. We have to let them know.
The additional cost would be if someone has, it's a dependent, greater than two, they're, how is that tiered? Where they're single, there's...
Right. The employee may want to take out more money out of their flex. It's going to cost them, you know, family coverage. And I'm not sure. I think there's two that I know of that will affect here for sure, but they're already on...
Probably the biggest risk for us is if there was a high user of insurance, but it's federal law, so...
Yeah, but, I mean, it's three months early, though, correct?
It's whenever they come on. Yeah, a couple months early, just because of what our cycle is as far as the cafeteria plans and stuff. But, you know, we got to do it, whether we do it
in
now.
In September,
and,
yeah.
We have to do it then, yeah. I mean, what the worst case is, if you wait till September, we have to come back. They can get in on the cafeteria plan because it's a change, and he said, qualifying family status change. But then we have to redo all the paperwork and that's fair.
But if we had major claims in the 2 months, okay.
So that is the risk that you take.
Okay. Any more discussion?
What's the verdict then? Wait till September?
And we're voting on it.
What's the detail we're voting on here?
Well, it's to allow them in now, the early.
July 1. It creates unneeded exposure, doesn't it? Is that what I'm hearing? Versus doing some paperwork over? I think I either need more information, or was that the gist of what I just heard?
That's where I'm implying.
So we're a little afraid of 2-3 months exposure, we'd vote against it. Is that
correct? Correct.
I'd do that. Dawn needs more work to do.
Yeah.
It's not me. It'll be the Aflac.
The Aflac
program,
folks.
So it makes me no
Lynn
difference.
Schwab comes back. Or whatever.
Yeah, we just have to go through that.
Would think unnecessary exposure is unnecessary.
Yeah. Any more discussion?
We had questions from employees because they knew this law was coming about, and so this is what prompted now. And so then contacted Sam, and this is what his recommendations are.
Any more discussion on the insurance? Vote. In favor, Bauman, Fleece, Byers, Barnard. Against, Anderson, Gronewald, Adams. Committee reports.
Two laws.
I'll give you our Building Grounds Committee some updates on some of the things that's going on. All of us want to know what's happening to the lighting in the different offices. This will be the recommendation from Chad Lettenberg. He was at our meeting. There will be extra roll lights, three of them added to the county clerk's office. That'll primarily be this way. Over the desk part, or your counterpart probably. But I don't know. That's up to them, I guess. Treasurer's office, they'll be adding seven lights to the present lighting there. They'll be adding another row of four lights. And that'll primarily be over their counter also in that area. And they'll be adding one more light to each of the three rows they now already have. So that's where the seven come in. They'll also be looking at the registered deeds office for some lights over the table where the record books are at. It's pretty dark. That's right when you walk in. They'll be looking at some over those. And they may be looking at, in some of these offices, if there's still some little dark spaces, what they call cam lights, in corners or whatever the case would be. Also looking at, I guess, the assessor's office may have some issue there also for maybe some cam lights in various corners. So that's what they're looking at this time. Emergency generator, we still have some issues there on the conversion of the present generator from a one-phase to a three-phase generator. Right now the generator is one-phase, and everything in a courthouse will be a three-phase. The contractor needs to determine which sub may have dropped the ball on this conversion, which should have been in the original bid. I'm saying somebody didn't get together on that because they knew from day one that was a one-phase generator and that they were putting in a three-phase, so somebody blew that one. The ground level window replacements, the drawing and specs are done. But before they can go out on bids, the Energy Department, which is again one of these stimulus programs, need to approve the final rules for the Davis-Bacon Labor Act. How sweet this is, too. It's only a 28-page document they need to approve, so we can't do anything on that until that gets done. Sprinkler situation, we're going to have two sprinkler heads put into the storage shed, according to the fire marshal. And all of the sprinklers need to make sure they're certified and ready to go by June 24th. That's the date the elevator will start working. Hey, and all the subcontractors and contractors have been notified that any cost to us, if those elevators aren't going by June 24th, is their cost. It's not our cost because they've been putting us off for a month now on it. So, and the attorney's office is planned to begin moving it on June 25th, the day after that. So, courthouse ceiling colors, all of us, I suppose, really wanted to be involved with this. Radigan's and the Judge Corsland and Judge Tim have determined the colors. The county courtroom will have, this is for the ceiling now, will have, it's kind of like a burgundy color. And the district courtroom will kind of be a blue type color up there. And I guess they both agreed on the walls. It'll be ivory on both courthouses, I mean courtrooms. The roof contractor, the contractor will return when they're wetting and also the footing. They've got some concern with all the rain we've had and everything because they have to come back to get up on that fourth
on the top of that thing. They want to make sure they've got some dry and good footing before they rent that thing and bring it in here for about a week. So they're just waiting for time to when all that works together so they can do the work there. Telephone wiring also has to be installed in a courthouse by June 24th. The third floor will have a temporary telephone wiring to their office. Probably be a cable running up there or something so they can have telephones. It won't be completely done yet. And I guess the sheriff's office for two or three days, they won't have your three-digit number from what I understand. You'll have to go to the county clerk's office or the county and then transfer over to the sheriff's office while some of this is going on. You're aware of that, I'm assuming. No. Well, you are now.
Or dial the whole 7 or 8 digits. I mean, you'll just lose your three-digit dialing for a few days.
And that's where we were at. Sorry, I missed you, sir. And we'll see how the lights go.
Any other committee reports, Matt?
Finance Committee, I've talked to Dawn, and next meeting we're going to put together a preliminary budget review. It'll have the last 3 years of what was expended, the proposed expenditures. And this is a little preemptive because we don't know totally what the end of the year is going to be. But to get that out to the board, that'll be a time for comments. We thought that being the third meeting of the month, we might have a little more time to go through that. But try to get it out to you as soon as we can so you've got several days to look at that. That'll be a time to make comments. Again, those are all the agency requests, elected officials' requests, any proposed wage adjustments. Those will be in those so we can have that discussion in open session. And then after that, in July, then the Finance Committee will go back, and as we get some more final numbers in, whittle some of that stuff down. It's not a time for the agencies to come and visit and have discussions of we need more or no one will ask for less, but it's a time for us to discuss so that everyone feels like they have an opportunity to at least see firsthand what those responses were, and that'll be just at our regular board meeting. That's it. That's kind of the big thing. It's just to try and
get
that together.
It'll be 2 weeks of regular board meeting, or you'll have that.
Okay. I'll try to get that. I'll work with Dawn, because you say, Dawn, you've got all the data. We just need to get it together and get it out to people.
Yeah.
So if you got time, the end of this.
Everything is pretty much in now. I've got to double check, but I think everybody's got their information.
Maybe check the very beginning of next week for a packet. You know, look probably very similar like this to go through and then come to that board meeting with any questions, concerns, desires, wants, needs, omissions.
Just out of curiosity, doesn't have to do with the budget, but does with money. As I'm looking here, and maybe I'm missing something, but the treasurer doesn't have money deposited in either Odell or Adams, and I wondered if there's some reason. Was there a bid thing or something, some reason for that? We have all the rest of the county banks that are covered, but I noticed there's not money in those two banks in deposits. And just, you know, maybe I'm missing something, and it just seemed kind of strange to me that we have those two banks that
might be just a cycle thing. You have to ask her.
Ask Lori.
Yeah, we'd have to ask because we try not
they're
to.
They're all approved, I think.
Yeah, they're all approved.
Okay, well, that's what I thought. Yeah. And when I kept looking and I wasn't.
Yeah.
We have enough money, I would think we can split it up so those banks would be included also.
Unless she's going with what some of the banks as far as what percent interest they may pay on there. On their accounts, because I noticed I guess Security First is probably a little over 1%, I think, is what they're paying, which is pretty good for just an open account, you know. So I would imagine there. But this may be something we'd have to have her come in and explain to us, you know, at a meeting. So.
You have something else?
It's in your packet here. This is updated draft of emergency management job description change. Just make everyone aware of that, and you'll see there's some additional information regarding the position that we changed in committee to try and have that. A lot of it's housekeeping type stuff, so just so everyone's aware of that. And you saw Mark here, and I think the intent is to once a month have him do a report like this. I think that's very valuable. Everyone gets to hear that information. It's it's getting increasingly difficult to get everybody information and do it in the proper manner. So I figure an open meeting is probably the best way to do that.
Do we need a couple-minute executive session to update FOP or wait on it?
It'd be nice.
And then we need somebody to go into.
Wondering about the evaluation forms we got today. Who all, we're supposed to photocopy them ourselves. Who all are we supposed to report on?
Mark is the only one at the moment, or Marlon.
Any other?
Well, there's Mark because it's the end of the fiscal. I think last year we did them in June also.
How about our custodian? I was getting the impression we were supposed to do more than.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, this would be for everyone. That, I was using this specifically just because I deal with Mark on a, as chairman of emergency management. But yeah, I would say that Davy Jones and Marlon out of, and they would get funneled back to those.
Would that be the three? Is there just the three then that we hire directly?
So, yeah. Because the Phil would answer to his board. So. Yeah.
Unless you want to do one on all seven of us.
Should we make those?
I'll do one on you. You do one on me. Can I take you out to lunch?
Okay. Moved by Barnard, seconded by Bauman to go into executive session FOP litigation. Is that enough?
I'm going to recommend that every one of us give $1,000 in terms of the court.
7-0.
That's right.
Appropriate. Yeah. I didn't do that.
No, I didn't today. I'm sorry. Ron wasn't pointing at me.
We have first to trash, or we.
Need a motion to come out of executive session.
Move.
Moved by Anderson.
Seconded.
Seconded by Gronewald. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Anything else for the good of the order? Meeting adjourned, 10:49.
Thank you, Don. Uh-huh.